Let's see this work. I guess we don't have an audio stream together today. That's going. Let's preview it. OneDrive is cloud storage space from Microsoft. It's like Google Drive or iCloud.
I knew Microsoft was really pushing it.
And I've mentioned in the club before that if you were looking for storage space in the cloud, OneDrive is a great option.
It is.
Because you can pay $100 a year, which is a good price, for a terabyte of space, and they give you the full-blown version of Office. Yeah, I mean, it's an Office deal. They're selling Office, but they give you a terabyte of cloud storage in OneDrive. So I think if you're looking for cloud space, that's the way to do it. Buy Office or subscribe to Office, and then you've got a terabyte of space out there on the internet.
So ignore the OneDrive, and since I already have Office, just ignore OneDrive.
Well, is it just asking you if you want to sign into it? Because we're all entitled with our Microsoft Services account. We're entitled to something like 5 to 10 gigabytes of OneDrive for free. So if you wanted to use 5 to 10 gigabytes of cloud space for free, you could just sign into the OneDrive with your Microsoft account. And your Microsoft account is typically that Outlook.com account or the Hotmail account. A Skype account counts now, too. Even an Xbox gaming account counts as a Microsoft account.
So let me show you.
Cafe O'Meal.
Hey, hey. So I'm
doing good. I'm doing good.
And I think it's because I'm here. Because if I do it on Chrome, I don't get that. It's just unable to connect.
Is this Firefox? What web browser is this? It is Firefox? If you go over to Chrome on your tablet, it's the same thing?
Well, no, it doesn't give me that same message. Well, okay, there it is.
Sorry about that.
You didn't check in.
Oh, man, I get to tell you everything.
And I need to mute it because, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's, I don't know what it says, but it's sending me a message.
Oh, wait.
This is it.
Oh, okay. The other one was a .gov.
Yeah. And so it just does this.
Wait, are you sure that's not the right one? Okay.
So that it'll keep doing this and it says server now. So if I go in through a VPN.
Does it work? It doesn't work anywhere in Mexico except if you use a VPN.
I guess. I tried it on hers. I tried it here. Isn't that weird? There's the utilities.
Well,
and they have no tech support.
You know what is going on right now is the GDPR.
Which is?
Well, give me just a second.
Okay.
Streaming live video is down. Not working. Okay. But
oh, we did them last year. Yeah. My God knows what happened to them. Some of them were really good. Some of
them. Gal named Josie.
Tweet that.
And
it's been
start streaming. Oops. Hit the start button.
Yeah, we had
too many start buttons. Audio is still down.
We're invisible today?
Who said that?
Who's talking?
Where did that come from? Okay. Cameras are working. There we go. We are full up. How many people do we have today? This is 20 counting me. I always count.
Okay, good.
Welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, and you guys are the club. We meet every Tuesday for 9:15 to 10:15-ish to share tech topics, talk about today's news, and solve the world's computer problems. Thanks for joining me today. I have, like in the past, brought some of my own topics, but I am very interested in what you guys have going on right now. I see hands up already, and I will get Judy, and then Linda, and then Bob.
Okay.
All right.
So what's the best VPN to use right now?
Ooh,
what's the best what?
To the table. What's the best?
To the table.
Smart DNS.
Smart DNS is...
Some people like VPN Express. I use Keep Solid
for a VPN or for PB.
No, for a VPN.
Well, your example is
my
a valid one to bring up.
I cannot access ColoradoSpringsUtilities.org from here.
To pay her bill.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
also, you can't a lot of the Medicare and stuff.
Medicare, you can't either.
Do you know, this seems strange if you were saying this a year ago. But now with the GDPR rampant across the internet.
Which is GDPR.
It's the General Data Protection Resolution. Is that what's the R stand for? I don't remember.
GDPR.
It is the European Union's requirement that internet or online services can remove your data, must remove your data over a specific period of time, provide you at any moment with an accounting of the data they keep track of on you, and be able to eliminate that data upon request. I mean, that's essentially, those are the three key things of the GDPR as far as I'm concerned. You can ask that service what they're tracking on you, and they have to be able to give it to you. You can ask that service to immediately eliminate your data from their tracking, and they have to be able to do that. And they have to eliminate your data after a specific period of time. I'm thinking it's 2 years, but it may be a different period of time. For some reason, I'm thinking it's 2 years. I don't remember why I'm thinking it's 2 years. But there is a set time period that a service is supposed to have eliminated your data. And because so many European market is using, because so many of the services are international services, that they have been by default having to provide that same services to us in the United States, even though we don't have any type of restriction right now. Essentially, if an operation wanted to operate only in the United States, only with U.S. citizens, then you don't have the same kind of protections of your data because this is a European thing. In this respect, as far as personal privacy and data protection go, Europe is much farther ahead than we are in this respect, and they are having an influence on how business is done in the United States because of that. So here's the way it's influencing your utilities. Mm-hmm. A number of these sites that see themselves as useless outside the United States have just blocked access outside the United States so that there can't be any possibility that they're not in compliance.
Oh.
So
because I know that last season I did not have this issue with utilities.
I couldn't get into CVS Pharmacy last year, but no.
Well, large, like Google can't afford to just block the rest of the world. They have to provide these tools, Facebook as well. And I don't know about, you said CVS Pharmacy. I don't know about where their market is, but you can bet if they see their market outside U.S. borders, they're having to comply with this GDPR. And so they're working a way to make it work. Now, what they've probably done is... I mean, if it's related to this, is they've put all those things in place. So, and you can see them. You can see those places if you go into your Google account or you go into your Facebook account. You should now find an option there where you can download all the data that they have on you.
Wow.
Facebook, I haven't bothered to do it yet, but I've listened to a lot of tech journalists that have downloaded their Facebook records, and it says explicitly, these advertisers have your data. They can target you under these categories. And this is all to be compliant with this European requirement. I think fairly fortunate that Europe has done this, because it's too hard for these organizations to try and sort out whether you're American or whether you're European. It's easier just to blanket the entire market with the same tools. Unfortunately, the smaller places, fortunately, the computer club is not considered a big enough target for a European entity to go after. Not yet, at least. And in that respect, I have plenty of time to worry about putting together some kind of policy. I don't have to worry about providing anybody with their personal data. They don't leave any of their personal data. But if I was big enough, I would still be concerned about it. Cookies are under this. And that's one of the reasons that every website you go to now has a stupid cookie message saying, hey, you know, the way this works is with cookies. And something about acknowledging that with "you're okay" means that they are compliant with GDPR. It means
they have to acknowledge it or they won't let you on.
If they don't have your acknowledgement recorded, then you could later come back and say, I didn't know. And they wouldn't be compliant. By you saying okay, now they've got it in their ledger. You said cookies were okay. So if I was concerned about that kind of stuff, then I could block it, because maybe I don't want to put together the policies and the. I mean, depending on the site, it could be something crazy to try and put together.
Well, since they have no technical support available, that makes you wonder that they just blocked it for them.
Yeah. Well, why would they expect anybody outside of the United States to be working with it? It's going to be edge cases like your own, where you're on vacation and you want to get access to it.
All you want to do is pay your bill, right?
Right. The beauty of that is when you've got them on the phone, they don't care. It's like, no, I just want to give you money. It's like, we'll come back to the United States and do it. Yes, Jim.
For you, you might want to try private internet access. Very good.
Is it free?
Highly rated. And I think it's free trial on it also.
Hey, does Smart DNS, they give you VPN for free if you're subscribed? And Smart, do they allow you to try the VPN over the 30-day trial or the 2-week trial? I think it's a 2-week trial.
And then Linda just said ExpressVPN is the number one VPN.
It's got a really good reputation.
Like it?
10 bucks a month. No problem with it.
It's kind of pricey when I add that to my utility bill, since that's the only thing I'm doing.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends using the private one.
Okay.
It's really good. Tom's computer guy thinks it's number one.
And it's called what?
Express.
No.
ExpressVPN.
Private
internet access.
Okay.
Can you pay it through your bank online?
I can't. That's.
You could do like bill pay through your bank.
But that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, I want to look at my bill before I pay.
Make sure no one's living in your home.
So the recommendations from this table so far: ExpressVPN has very good reputation. Smart DNS has a great reputation with all of us, and you can try it for like 2 weeks for free. I don't know if that includes the VPN. Yeah. Now you make me feel bad because I've never bought it, but I should.
You keep getting them different email addresses.
Private. What was the other one? Private network?
Private internet access.
Private
internet
access.
They have tons of different servers.
Okay.
So you can put it on your TV boxes, Android, whatever. in your router.
Okay. I still haven't been able to buy postage, U.S. postage, with even with my VPN.
That's awesome. Are you talking about like stamps.com?
No, I'm talking about U.S. Postal Service. .com.
Do you have an account with them?
Yeah, I've got an account.
Oh.
That's really funny.
It will keep rejecting mine, but should use a good credit card, I suppose. That might make it.
That could be it, right?
Maybe my wife's got me blanked out on that account.
He's got to stop sending stuff.
It's getting harder to hide stuff from her, I know that.
I gave up a long time ago. If she's going to be the accountant, she's going to know exactly where I've been spending my money. I just got to swallow that.
I was a bad boy for a long time. You finally trained me.
Ed?
Yeah.
Before you leave, come talk to him. He's got Vader and he's got a couple things you want to talk about.
I haven't used Vader for 5 months.
You used Vader.
I got, when I rented this new condo, I got DirecTV.
Oh. So are you using Streamio still?
Streamio, I still use Streamio every day.
Jim, you using Streamio?
I'm sorry?
Streamio, are you using Streamio?
No.
No?
Never did.
Oh, never did?
How do you spell it?
I hated it.
Streamio. You hated it?
Okay. Yeah, it didn't have as many apps or... I was used to with coding, so I just went back to coding and...
Well, I've been fighting with Kodi and Streamio. It seems like whatever content I'm looking for, I can't seem to find anymore. Whereas a couple months ago, it was awesome. And Streamio on my Android platform, I can't install the latest version. It just doesn't work. The one prior to it, Streamio's at like 1.01, and the version prior to that, 0.45. is the version that works for me when it does work. The newest version does not work at all for me. I set it up and I get a blank screen and a spinning circle and that's all she wrote.
TV?
Say that again?
TV?
That works. And that's a very intriguing product because it relies on peer-to-peer networks solely. Peer-to-peer and embedded. So TTV... will give you a list of files that are available, a list of content that's available through a peer-to-peer sharing network, as well as a list of places that you could find them in web pages. And so if you're on a computer platform, it'll just pull up a web browser to that page that has the video on it. And let me say, Streamio works great on my PC. The latest version on it is my favorite app on my home theater PC is Streamio. But on my Android box, it's a joke. It's real hit or miss whether it works or not.
Would you spell Streamio?
It's Streamio.
Is there a charge for that?
No. No, it's become the go-to. I don't know if you guys remember, we talked about Terrarium TV, which was so reliable, and they finally must have gotten in trouble or went on to another project, but they shut it down. And so Streamio has become the new favorite of the people that were using those apps. Kodi, I can't seem to find anything. Anything I'm looking for, I can't find it. I've been using my plugins are Exodus. This is not what I came here to talk about, but it's Exodus.
Well, it has to be Exodus 6. For the newest one, and that one's dying, but go to Exodus Redux, and it has a better scrapper. It has one of the best scrappers out there.
That scrapers. Huh? Scrapers, right?
Scrapers, yeah.
Yeah, scrapers,
right. Scrappers.
But, that is, I have not had anything that says Exodus 6, so maybe I'm running a really old plugin.
Yeah, you'd have to change. Exodus was dying, and they changed the repository to a new one. Six. And actually, it's TV add-ons.
Well, it is through TV add-ons.
But you have to. It was a different address, as I remember.
What was the other plugin name you gave? Redux. Redux?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exodus Redux.
Okay.
Real good. Fantastic.
Because Exodus was just dead on over the summer, and for the last few months, it was you would search for something, and it would be right there. And then just recently, in the last 2 months, it's just turned into a joke. Okay. I'm going to look for those. Thank you, Jim.
So,
we can go back to things that other people care about.
So, no, if you're using this Streamio, do you then have to have a subscription for the things that they offer?
No, but there are plugins. The way it's a platform,
mm-hmm.
and so developers develop plugins for
mm-hmm.
it. And it would be very easy for a developer to develop a plugin that doesn't work for you unless you pay for a service.
Oh, okay. And so they call these add-ons, right?
Yeah.
Add-ons, but you got to use community add-ons because I don't think any of the other ones are.
Well, the ones that are installed that are part of it are things like subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube. Things that are standard, set, solid pieces. And then the community is providing. That Netflix doesn't do anything.
Oh, it doesn't.
No.
That's a community add-on. And then we have officials.
Yeah, the official add-ons are things that are always there. They're free to watch. They're free to use. And that's things like the subtitles. And,
okay.
And then the community has a whole handful of add-ons. And that's things like...
PDB.
Like what?
Like Pirate Bay.
Huh.
Pirate Bay add-on so that it'll search in Pirate Bay for peer-to-peer access so you can download the file amongst peer-to-peer sharing.
Carlos,
and watch it.
Carlos.
Yeah, Juan Carlos is a site that stores videos, and so it'll search that site for it.
Hmm.
The add-ons are basically providing the program with locations where to find files that are the content you're looking for. They're the videos that you're looking for.
I found yesterday something called Zoo something on there that works.
Zoogle,
yeah.
It works awesome. It's another peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
Zoogle. Yeah. Z0 or
it's Google with a Z.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. It's Google with a Z.
Z-O-O-G-L-E.
Z-O-O-G-L-E.
Zoggle?
Yeah.
We call it Zoogle here.
Yeah. I call it Zoogle.
It's like a Z-O-O-G-L-E.
Two to one.
Is that a subscription or a donation type of program?
Well, again, Streamio is free. The plugins that are built into it are free. What we're using are community-built plugins that are typically free. But it would be very possible for a developer to develop an add-on that's attached to a service that you'd have to pay for. Because it's a platform for creating a theater environment.
Anybody use iptorrents.tv?
I've never heard of it. IP Torrents. .tv.
I gave up looking after I got Streamio.
Well, again, Streamio's just rocking on my PC. Did you use it on a PC or an Android?
Both.
Yeah, it's the Android. But Well, no, Streamio. Did you have the latest version on your Android?
I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what version in the Android. You actually have to go into your apps in settings and pull up the app, and it'll show you what version it is.
Something like 1.4 or something like that.
I think it'd be 1.1. But I'll
look this week and report back.
Okay.
I watch it every day.
All right. I think that sums up the Cody report for this week.
I did find out something interesting, though. If you watch... Like Monday nights, there's Manifest we like to watch. That's that airplane that disappeared for 5 years.
I was watching that for a while, yeah.
And then in The Good Doctor we watch, but they both come on at the same time. So usually if you watch The Good Doctor, you can go over to Streamio and they'll have the new stream of...
Ready to go right after
go.
You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one of the neat things about Streamio is that you can add your programming to a library, and if it's regular programming, like every week, Streamio has a calendar, and you can go to the calendar, and it will show your library in the calendar for when it had been broadcast. And so you use the calendar to flip back last week or the week before last. Which episodes did I miss? So that's pretty cool.
But it says live TV. So what does that mean?
It says that live.
When I was reading it, it said
no,
watch live TV. Does that? It
that must be
really
an add-on. That must be
live TV.
That must be some kind of add-on you can add to it because you can watch YouTube through it, and I'm sure you can watch live YouTube channels through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adding to the TV thing, Comcast still insists you have to use Adobe to watch the content on the computer.
Really?
Yeah, still. And so I got so frustrated, I started looking around Adobe. Adobe is going to die in the year 2020.
Well, you're talking about the Flash players.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's Adobe's plan. That's
here. Comcast is still using
it. Yeah, no, but their plan is to kill it. I don't even think their plan is to open source it. I think their plan is to kill it. I think it's considered such a security issue that nobody wants to maintain it.
They're the top five cable companies in the country.
Right.
It's just that you have to use it.
It's like a metaphor for their whole business model. Right? Set it, forget it, get paid for it.
With Chrome, you have the latest versions of Flash. Flash player.
Yes.
Actually,
I go to a site and it says, no, that has changed in the last.
Okay, but I'll go to a site and it says, you have to use Flash player
right.
for this.
That's why.
Click to download it, and I'm afraid if I click to download that, I'm going to download whole. Other things.
Don't click to download it. That message is still an invalid message. If anything, if you're using Chrome or Microsoft Edge, I don't think it applies to Firefox. I think it's Chrome and Microsoft Edge. Microsoft is providing Flash. It should pop up automatically in Edge and in Chrome. If I've got it straight in my head, it should pop up. There should never be something asking you to use Flash, but it's no longer provided by Chrome. It's provided by Microsoft Windows in their updates. And so if you're getting that message, more than likely you're looking at something that's not legitimate.
Okay.
But I can't say that for Firefox. I'm not sure if it's trying to use the Windows Flash.
I hate Edge. I use Internet Explorer.
That's
Edge. No.
Well, no, they're two separate browsers completely.
I thought they were combining them.
No. In fact, they want to get rid of Internet Explorer, but that is everybody's experience. Is you start using Internet Explorer, works great.
And then they screw you.
Or Internet Edge, and then they find something where it's not working, and then they move to another browser.
Is Bing involved in those same two? Is Bing Internet Explorer and Edge all the same company?
Bing, Internet Explorer, and Edge the same company. Yeah, they're all Microsoft. Yeah.
This phone is a Microsoft phone, and it has Internet Explorer on there, and it can't be updated for the Edge. Edge is Windows 10.
Sorry, guys. I just watched one of my cameras go down. Oh no! I think I just resolved it. So, Linda, you had a question, and then Bob, you have your question.
Two things. Told me to download the Epic browser. It's got
what?
Built-in DNS.
Epic browser? I know nothing about it. Fill us in.
Well, you can turn it has built in VPN and you can turn it on and off.
So this would be like that's one of the things that drew me to Opera is that it had a built in VPN service. Well, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but the Opera VPN has just kind of fallen apart. The service they were using, I heard, was sold, and they were just allowing people to use it as a free VPN. Opera put it into their system, and now it's not available.
Epic.
Yeah.
I tried the Epic, and it works good, and you can turn it on and off right in the browser. So So I just kind of use it when I want to do that.
Good idea. I like that idea.
I mean, I've got two to tell you about.
What do you want to see?
Does it limit your amount of...
It's based on Chromium. I'm looking at it right now. Is it available for Android and iOS?
I put it on Windows.
On Windows. I'm grabbing it right now. Because everybody has a need for a VPN at some point.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Does it work on the post office?
I bet it would.
We're going to find out, aren't we?
It goes to Manifix there, so you don't really need a VPN.
I don't see... Oh, wait, here it is. You can get it for OS X. And so it's a desktop browser. It's not a mobile browser. Not yet, at least. I don't see any indication that you could use this from the App Store.
Check it out and give us a report.
The government considers you a threat to the nation.
I don't know what the install process is, but it's sure not a big program. It's less than 2 megabytes in size to download.
No bombs.
I thought I tried Epic and I couldn't download.
Any of the Chrome plugins will work on.
Had a caravan.
Yeah, because it's based on Chromium, I imagine, because that's the base for Chrome. Well, I probably shouldn't do this, but I just started the install for Epic browsers. It'll probably crash everything I'm doing, but yeah, I should be less casual. Over the weekend, I was playing with my Unix box and rendered it useless. Yeah, I know what you were thinking.
It wasn't me. She's pointing to Jan.
Don't judge me. I can play with my own box. It's fine.
Are we in violation of FCC rules?
What was your number two?
Did you find it? Because I just looked it up in Play Store and it's right there, Epic Browser.
Oh, that's awesome. I was just going on what was on their website and I'm like, why would you offer a product without making it clear they've got mobile versions of it? That's very cool.
Well,
so,
the other thing I wanted to say is I got my Netgear Orbi.
Oh, yes.
My mesh network.
Yep.
And I set it up. It was really easy to set up. I first looked at YouTube. The only thing they left out was all the registering you have to do. So I've got like three different passwords on it. You have to have one password for Netgear and one password for the Orbi and one password for your
Oh, you have to have different Wi-Fi networks. That's what you're saying?
One Wi-Fi network. You've got a password for your Wi-Fi network. Then you got a password for Netgear. And then...
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean...
And then you have a password for the Orbi.
You can make them all the same.
You've got three passwords. You can make them all the same.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're essentially dealing with three devices.
Right, but it works perfect. Flawlessly.
Throughout the house, you've got strong, robust
units.
Wi-Fi.
I only have two units. I didn't buy a plug-in because if you're going to buy them, you really should buy them all together in the package because otherwise then you start buying the plug-ins and they're like $100 plug-in.
So you bought a package that was a base station
and satellite.
Okay.
So my house
is that small. Is that the language that Orbi uses? Is satellite? Because in the Euro they call it a beacon, but it's essentially the same thing.
The one you put out in the living room, the one you put by your router,
is a base station.
It's a base station, and then the one you put out like in your living room is the satellite.
Just so we're all clear, do they use the word base station? Mm-hmm. In their language, because that's one of the things we're sorting out.
Said the main.
Main.
I think they just said the main.
Because sometimes this stuff is complicated, just because we don't know the right language. And I think it's significant that they call it a satellite, and Euro has decided to call it a beacon. And what they're talking about is the same thing.
Yeah. So basically, the base station is right next to your Telnex router, plugged into your tower. The only thing that I saw is in the picture, they showed four internet connections on the base, and there's only two. So that is a little bit of a problem, because I did not get one for my bedroom to hook in for the TV. I just thought I didn't want to spend $100, and I've been running the cord, so I ran the cord.
To the satellite.
But my telephones, I wound up putting on my Telmex box because.
Well.
There wasn't any extra plug-ins. There was only two.
Well, you could add a fourth piece of equipment. You could add a fourth piece of equipment.
I could, but, yeah. You know, I thought, well, you know what, I should have, if you're going to buy it, really should get everything you're going to need, because otherwise you're paying a lot of extra money if you don't buy it in the package.
Going back to the way you have it set up, you said you have a Netgear. Are you running a Wi-Fi network off of the Netgear, or is that just your bridge to the internet?
Yeah, you have it plugged into your Telmex router.
Okay, so you have your Netgear plugged into your Telmex router.
Correct.
And you have
the satellites out in the living room.
The Netgear is the Orbi. When we say Netgear, we're saying Orbi.
The Orbi.
So when you say three passwords, you have...
A Netgear password.
Right.
The Orbi password.
Okay.
And your internet password, you know.
Okay, so when you say Orbi password, you must mean your Wi-Fi password.
No.
No,
they
so
have
the
a password for like the Orbi group, the website for the Orbi, where you go in and you, because you put it on your phone. I actually put it on my tablet.
Okay.
And then you set it all up in there, like you do most of the stuff nowadays.
Sure, yeah.
So I put it on my tablet and I set it all up with the tablet. Okay. So then you got to have a different password for that.
Going back to the way you connected it up, I think that is the way you want to connect it. I think you want to have your phones connected to the Telmex router.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and I connected them to the Telmex router?
Yeah. Right alongside the Orbi, and then you use the Orbi network for all your Wi-Fi stuff.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Did you want to add to that, Mike?
Just a quick aside on Telmex.
Okay.
Our landline went dead about a week and a half ago. It was working, the internet worked. Landline went dead. Internet stayed on, thankfully. And then finally on Saturday, a fellow came over. And it's amazing what he did because it was so easily fixed. He took the landline out of the splitter that came out of the wall and plugged it directly into the new modem in landline number one. And that fixed the whole thing. I don't know if any of you know. He said the problem was all around town. Because then when they switched over to this new system, something was closed, it did not go through, then they lost the data, and they have to go to every house to fix it. So if you have that, it's just better pull it out of the wall, better put it in, pull my number one in the back of your mind.
This sounds to me like they're eliminating the splitter.
Yeah.
And the reason they would do that is because it got jolted and no longer works.
So you're not plugging into the wall anymore.
You're plugged into the wall, but I got a splitter off the wall.
You're not using the filter any longer.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need a filter. You don't need a filter for the modem. You need a filter for the telephones on your network. Because the old telephone technology interferes with the high-frequency internet technology. It's the reason they're able to run both technologies on the same cable is they're in different spectrums. But the old telephone technology, because it spans the spectrum of that cable, will bleed into your internet and cause internet conflicts, interference. Well, isn't that what you're telling me he did?
No, I still have the splitter in there, but it's not split. It just went off one side.
Well, you're using it for your internet. I don't think you can plug it.
I'm not understanding what you're saying,
okay,
Mike.
I had a splitter.
You had a splitter.
The one side.
One goes to a phone.
Died, so they pulled the landline out of that side. You didn't need it anymore. It's stuck it directly into the modem. So everything's coming from the
modem.
Everything's coming from the wall.
To the wall?
To the modem.
To the modem. No splitter.
It's half of a splitter. So.
But that's what's on the other half of the splitter?
So he didn't remove the splitter. He just moved it over to the phone site.
I'm going to remove the splitter and put it directly in the wall.
You like it.
So that sounds like a tech that's not certain what he's doing.
He said he's going to a billion houses. And,
well, I mean, it would work. It would work, but you would. The better solution would be to remove the splitter altogether.
Yeah, okay.
You wouldn't get interference. Yeah. Since they've taken the phone off,
we'll
get interference.
You'll notice, you know, to pick up the phone
and dial it. The thing is, what's important to know is that the filter isn't for the modem. The filter is for the phones. So you don't need a filter on a modem unless you're going to install a phone right next to it. That's why it's built as a splitter, is so that you can have a phone right next to the modem. There's plenty of filters out there that aren't built as a splitter, but the splitter is just a convenience mechanism. Yes, Stan.
I'm using a Magic Jack app on my Galaxy S2, and when I called my daughter in Vegas, on her end, she was hearing her voice being doubled, you know, and it was very disconcerting. What causes that?
Well, they have a thing now. You have to go into the Magic Jack and find that for the feedback, and then there's something to download.
Are you using Magic Jack through a computer, or are you using a standard? Are you using with a standard telephone that's plugged into the Magic Jack?
No,
mobile.
It's the tablet.
It's the app.
The Magic Jack app.
Ah, okay.
And it's completely wireless.
So Linda seems to know exactly what you're talking about.
So there's a feedback thing. You have to go back into their knowledge thing and put the feedback in. There's something to download for the feedback. If you can't do that, then you got to call them, and they help you block it through.
Oh, so that's what's causing the double from the other end.
Right.
You know, this end was clear on both ends, but the other end was...
You have it on your telephone, too?
No, just on the app. Just on the app.
If you put it on a telephone, I don't think you'll have that problem.
Well, I don't have a telephone. Because, you know.
Oh, you're using right. it on the app here.
Yeah, I'm using it on the app here.
You could just be getting some feedback.
Yeah.
You know what, though? You might be able to just go to the Magic Jack page like Linda's saying and ask for technical support on it.
Yeah.
Because it could be just an isolated thing with your installation.
Online.
Hey, Bob, you had a question you've been waiting patiently to ask.
He forgot
what
it was.
We were talking about Streamio, I think. Is what we were talking about.
What is an unofficial add-on that costs too much?
Doesn't. There's no.
I think we were just talking generally. I'm not aware of a particular one. I'm just saying that it's possible.
Okay. My main question is, how many people in this group have been hacked?
Have been hacked?
If you raise your hand, I'd like to know.
Have been hacked how?
Hacked how? I don't know.
Well, in Bob's case, there was a broadcast sent out that said Bob was out of the country. Please email me right back. It's urgent.
He needs $600.
I got it.
Yeah,
but I didn't do anything. So.
So Bob, to answer your question on my side, I've never been hacked, but I've helped at least a dozen people throughout the years from that exact experience.
Okay, the last time I was hacked was 5 years ago. So I'm not paranoid about it, but that was when our daughter passed away, and the screen turned black, and everything was in Arabic. And I don't know what I did. I don't know what caused it. But then the other day, they attempted a hack, I believe, and then it was they did hack us, and went out to all of our the total contact list, and. The message was from Robert to all these people, my sister has got a problem. I would be most appreciative if you could help me, and I will get back to you. I cannot use my phone. I'm in Turkey.
Wow.
And I can't use my phone, so please internet me. Okay. It didn't stop there. People responded to that. Nibs on the girl said, I'm really sorry about your sister. I hope she doesn't die. Okay? And other people put in and said they believed, and they called me to ask how they could help. And I said, I'm sure this is a scam. Okay?
Sure.
So
yeah.
My question to you is, when those people responded back to R.M. Hicks 425, why did I not get a copy of that?
Oh. Yeah, that's a tough one. It really depends on how they perpetrated the scam. Like, it wouldn't be very hard to create email messages from you that people hit reply, and if they're not paying attention, they're going to a separate email address. Mm-hmm. So they appear as though they came from an address, but when they reply to it, it goes to a completely different address. That's a very, very easy thing to do.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and there was, it used to be really easy. It used to be the way that we would do business email using an account like a Hotmail account, is that we'd send it out looking like it came from our business address, even though it would be returned to a Hotmail account. And you'd do that kind of, you can still do that kind of stuff. We still do that kind of stuff, but we do it at a different level now. But at that time, sending servers would not check what email address you were stamping on it as it went out. And so it would let any email go out with a return address. Before that, when I was in college, it was so insecure in that respect, you could form an email message that looked like it came from Bill Gates and Microsoft, because there was so little security checking that was being done in that respect. Now, because it's been a problem with hacking and spam, most sending servers, especially the big ones like Gmail and Hotmail and Yahoo, they will not let you send using their servers unless you stamp your emails with your proper email address. But that kind of scamming can still be done. You can, if you have control over your own email server, you can make it look like anything.
Okay. And I heard that AOL is the worst because it's the oldest, and that can easily hack Hotmail, what we have. And I heard that has a lot of security. And I thought to myself, what am I doing to cause that problem?
Yeah, that's a tough one. This other person had, they'd gotten a hold of his password somehow and wiped out his inbox. I did some strange changes in the inbox so that when mail would come into it, it would go to an archive file so that it would be there for, I guess, the hacker to be able to see. But it wouldn't pop up in his normal inbox, so he was unaware of the email coming in. I don't know what to tell you in respect to why you've gotten hacked or how it's happened again.
Well, okay. My wife said we need to change our email right away. We need to change our password right away.
I think those are valid things to do.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, this.
I also run Malwarebytes.
You definitely make sure that you don't have any viruses or malware running on your computer that could have collected something.
Do you run Malwarebytes? I have a subscription. It runs every night at 2:00.
Yeah, but the free version would find anything malicious. Yeah.
If you're running it.
In fact, let's just say that anytime you have any question like this, there's nothing wrong with running some scanners to see if your system's clean. I mean, that's Malwarebytes. Anytime a system's acting weird with me, I'm very quick to grab Malwarebytes and make sure it hasn't collected some garbage.
Do you know the download for the free version permanent? I can't get it. It won't let me in. It's always getting a 14-day.
No.
At the end of the 14 days,
if you put on the... use the Malwarebytes one, and then it'll come up with some numbers, and you just put a...
Honestly, I don't know. Every time I install it now is when I decide I need to use it. Mm-hmm. So whenever I feel like I need to use it, I look at the version I have installed, and of course it needs an update. And then I download the new version, and then I forget all about it again.
Yeah.
So I need an update.
Okay. Yeah, and of course it would be downloaded with
That's
another
like
14 days of...
It updates every day, and it runs every night.
And the Microsoft stuff is good. The Defender stuff is good.
Yeah,
it's if you're using a different antivirus, I'd really question why you're using a different antivirus. Microsoft stuff is really good now.
Well, I
Yeah, well, and actually what you can do is you can leave yourself vulnerable to security holes that Microsoft has already dealt with. It's very unlikely at this stage in the game an antivirus company is going to have a better idea of where the security hole is than the operating system manufacturer. We've reached the point where they've got it blanketed. They can't know it better than these other companies do. Jim, I saw your hand up there for a while. What would you like to contribute?
The other one would be a mana. It's as old as Malwarebytes, and it's smaller and faster. I have a laptop that Malwarebytes just drags it down for a mana.
Is that A M A N?
A. Okay.
A mana. Okay.
Also, if you go to Microsoft sites, there's a free scanner that Microsoft has that they update it every month, and it scans your whole system for malware, not Defender. It's a different free scanner.
How do you get that?
Just go to Microsoft, type in malware scanner.
Okay.
That's called Defender?
Do you still have Windows
7?
No,
it's not Defender.
Oh, it's not?
Do you still have Windows 7?
Yes.
Oh,
that's a big
problem. Yeah, that's so you can't use the Microsoft stuff, and the only security fixes that they're going to release for it are critical, like causing the rest of the infrastructure issues. Then they will issue, but they're done with Windows 7. Also, even to cement it more, we just went over. And now Windows 10 has more than 51% of the Windows market share.
Oh, really?
By the way.
So they're losing all interest in keeping Windows 7 going.
Are they installing Windows 10 now? The new version, I just got a notice. And I didn't install it.
They are supposed to be starting.
Uh-huh. I got a notice.
They found that zip error, and it set it back. But they're supposed to be installing it. It's the October update.
But are we supposed to install it? Because it isn't the number you told us.
What I would do going forward is I would not worry about it. I would not look for it. I wouldn't try and install it ahead of time. I would let it come down naturally and gracefully. It's very hard for me to do that. But I don't see a reason after that last experience. There's no reason for any of us to be trying to load updates. The updates will come when they come, and they should be fixed by the time they hit your
No proactivity.
No proactivity, right? No.
Have it checked to automatically download.
It will.
I mean, it's Windows 10. Downloaded, but I don't have it checked to install.
It will. You don't have.
Well, then that's the wrong thing, and don't do it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you're running Windows 10 Home, you have no option but to accept and install. You don't have a check mark to say don't install.
You can delay it.
If it came in your email, I would be very suspicious of that email. Yeah, that sounds like a whole different computer club topic, because I don't think that it should be telling you. Oh, unless you're an insider. We do get insider updates. Okay. Because they.
You're saying ignore it.
I'm saying ignore it. If Microsoft's sending you something about upgrading your system, it sounds like you don't want to touch it.
I ran across something the other day. It came up on the bottom of my screen and said chrome.nuclear or something.
Never heard that one before.
Well, I ran a scan and got rid of it, but it was popping up stuff in the corner of my screen like it's called Chrome Nuclear something.
Hey, Irving, last week you said something about a grounding product. Did you?
Well, I think Linda said that you don't want to discuss things that are not related to the subject you decided to
That's
not true. My
you want to know where you're failing is thinking we have some kind of organization.
We talk about everything.
When Sam talked about it, he's been using it in his plan to get some health benefits.
It's called earthing. I don't know if anybody's talking
about earthing.
Okay. Is it a topic for this forum?
I know nothing about it.
Okay.
Basically, what you're doing is you're grounding yourself to the earth. You're getting the healing energies from the earth. And the way I do it is I have conductive material that I have on my bed that's wired to the ground outlet of the electrical thing. So when you sleep on it, any pains you have the night before, going after 2 hours. I had a swollen knee for like 2 months, and one night it corrected itself. It's just amazing.
Earthing. I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Just as long as you're not earthing your equipment to yourself. Yeah, that's right.
On Amazon and do a search for conductive material, and you're gonna find things that you can use that are very affordable, and you can do it yourself. I attach a wire with alligator clips to the material, and then the wire to the ground.
Oh, my. I've got the pipe
amazing.
Did
he say each?
Right?
Very cool.
Okay, I have a question.
Right?
All right.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. And here's a guy that uses it.
Like, depending on what the humidity is. I know it sounds strange.
It moves.
But it actually does work.
And it's E-A-R-T-H-Y.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, because it's a conductive material, I'll put it on a bottom fitted sheet. Then I'll take another fitted sheet over it so that you're not sleeping on the sheet itself, yet it will come through the other sheet. And then when you start to wash it, you wash the top sheet, you leave that one alone.
Hmm.
How do you spell this?
E-A-R-T-H-I-N-G.
Turn,
right,
turn earth into
a testimonial from professors and people that have used it. And it's
interesting.
That is interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Oh, Hector, you have back pain? Wait, 2 hours later, it's all gone.
That is an interesting question. What if you just sleep in the dirt? Is that the same effect? Same effect? Really?
That same
thing.
Because I believe that you shouldn't even sleep under an electric blanket. I believe those electric
Water is grounded.
Pulses are bad for you.
Oh, not anymore. Remember, we've lowered the radiation tolerance. I mean, a little radiation's good for you.
What's the basic cost?
I have an anecdote
when you're all done. Good thing all these things, radio frequencies that you're installing in your house,
right,
can talk to each other, just envelop you in
RF.
What's going to be mind-blowing is when we're charging batteries and running devices off of the radio waves in the air.
Yes.
Right? Then you'll have a real good grasp of how much power is floating around you in the air.
Okay,
let's hear your question, Maggie.
It happened about a month ago, both computers.
Okay.
All of a sudden, when you sign out, we have Gmail. Sign out of Gmail, and it says, your Gmail is not syncing, I don't remember the exact word. Blah, 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 blah. Sign back in to fix it. Yes. Sign back in, you've already read all your emails, you sign out, the message is still there. I can't get rid of it. I Googled it, and I did step-by-step what it said to do. It won't go away. It seems to still be syncing with my other devices, but I don't know.
This is Google Mail?
Gmail,
and this is using the Windows 10 Mail program?
I guess.
That's where you're getting this message? What
when I sign out, I'm signing into my other account, I get that message.
So,
back in right now to fix this. Sign back in and nothing happens.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's anything. I think it's just. I think it's trying to encourage you to get signed back into your account, because Google's whole business model is tracking you and providing advertising specifically to you, and they can't do that if you sign out.
Just an irritant. because I've gone into settings, yeah. I've done everything it said to do. But it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't seem to be.
But the warning message is general, it sounds like. The warning message that you're telling me sounds like you sign out and it says you need to get signed back in.
Signed back in to fix the problem because nothing is syncing. You're going to lose all the information.
Not syncing with your Android devices.
But it is.
Yeah, no, it would be because each one of those instances is its own sign in.
In one case, it wasn't syncing with my Samsung tablet, and I went in and deleted apps I wasn't using, and it would start syncing.
Okay. Yeah. And I do know that they have situations where the security has been questionably compromised, like something has happened to make Google's automatic system think, hey, this may not be correct, and they will stop syncing. And what you need to do is go to a desktop computer or go to a laptop computer, go to a, you know, a standard computer, go to Google, sign in there, and tell them, and then it, one of the first things that'll come up is say, we think this is unauthorized traffic or blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it has a red bar across it that you have to authorize. Or sometimes you sign in and then syncing starts again on your other device. Yeah. Okay.
I recall for months when this new software came in, when the upgraded software.
Yeah, I know it sounded like they installed the ability that you can't use
They can't use a what?
Aftermarket for deep launch.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
And so there was a big outcry, and hopefully they came up with a fixed firmware. So I tried and it didn't work, and I wound up with another printer. I have this wonderful printer. I just recently spoke to LD in aftermarket. And it just will not accept brand new aftermarket.
What?
And so I'm going to give up on it. I'm going to have to dispose of the printer.
Okay.
It says she recommended $300. Is that
Well, I haven't dealt with the problem yet, and I suspect that because it goes across different manufacturers, each one of them probably has their own fix for it. Did you get it installed?
I downloaded it.
Yeah. It could be the cartridge. That's the problem with this kind of issue, is that may have cleared up the problem, but there's a problem with the cartridge. Okay, so you get okay.
And all four come up. That's what makes me suspicious. In addition to that, I had some of the original HP cartridges.
Well, my first impression would be maybe you didn't get the firmware installed. Maybe you got the new drivers installed, but maybe the firmware to the printer didn't get installed. Because it would. Well, the firmware would be a separate process. It would be a communication between your computer and the printer, where it's loading that software into the printer, and typically that's an obvious process. I don't know if you saw something that obviously showed you installing the firmware. And it uses the word firmware. So all that sounds like it worked. And have you done things like unplug the printer for a period of time, plugged it back in? Yeah. You might try loading the firmware again. Okay. Yeah, I think Google's your friend in this respect. You got to start Googling discussion groups and find other people dealing with the same problem. Yeah. Well, if you put it on the street, that's what will happen. It will get passed to somebody that knows what they're doing, and they will, right? Because it'll be cheaper to solve it than to buy a new printer. That's it. But yeah. So I was going to say is it wouldn't be uncommon for it to end up on my desk at some point by somebody going, hey, how can I use this printer? Can you fix it? The hacks. Tried to scam you?
You lose a couple dollars every crazy how they do 1 month, 6 months.
But you heard that just even recently, I mean like that's, you're dealing with third parties using Facebook to scam you, but Facebook in itself is pretty, they're pretty bad. Just recently there's been an article out where, in fact I want to say it was The Guardian. But they were doing investigations into the kind of advertising that was going on in the 2016 election to see if Facebook is staying compliant with what they were planning on doing. And I think it's either Registry or The Guardian. I can't remember which publication was doing it. But they went in to buy ads, and they looked at the list of potential customers, and they were able to buy ads for white supremacists and Jew haters. Right? Checkbox. I want white supremacists. I want Jew haters. They're writing up their article to report on Facebook. They ask Facebook for comment. Next time they go back, they've been removed. And apparently that's how Facebook is dealing with this kind of stuff.
My computer for a while was shutting down on anything that was critical of Trump on Facebook. Computer just went blank.
I think anything that you put in too much information about yourself is dangerous. I think that. That's common sense. You put out too much information,
somebody will take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bank account is XXX, okay?
As an anecdote, a quickie.
Yes.
Back in the dark ages, I had an AOL account. This was at least 15 years ago. Someone went into it. It was like college kids or something playing around. But they switched all my email addresses. So business mail was going to my sister. Gossip, family gossip was going to B of A, you know. It was awful.
Say,
bad about anybody.
But it scrambled your contact list.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Tell me, I understand there's a lot of businesses that are still using Windows 7. That's what I understand.
Yeah, but they are quickly moving to Windows 10.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had plenty of time. And Microsoft is supporting Windows 7 for those businesses, and they're paying a premium for it. In fact, they're paying so much to get Microsoft support on Windows 7 in their corporation that it's obvious that Microsoft is telling them just upgrade to Windows 10. They are charging them a price for support that is crazy, and it's simply to say move on to the new platform.
Can you actually still download 10?
No, you can't. No. I wouldn't be surprised if you can download it, but you can't activate it for free any longer. You can't activate it for free.
With the download tool, the Microsoft.
Right now, with all the Christmas. Well, I don't think it'll activate, no matter how you get it into your.
Did a couple months ago.
Which tool?
It's like. It's upgrade center.
But had you had 10 on it before?
No.
It was the first time for 10. Oh, that's interesting. I haven't run into that working. Since they took away the...
I wanted to upgrade the... I took Linux.
Yeah.
And I went back to Microsoft. So I installed Microsoft 7.
7, and then did the... But you'd never had 10 on there before. Huh.
Zmana.
Oh, you have mentioned this one before.
It's excellent. Do a search between Zmana and Malwarebytes, and they give you the differences in them.
Cool. Thank you.
Very little.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Besides, Zmana is smaller and faster.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. You too. I'll see you guys next week, if not sooner.
It could be the machine itself is defunct. It may not be worth the odds because I've tried everything by the numbers. It wasn't that complicated.
And yeah.
It could be the machine itself. And so I say I don't want to burden someone else with a problem. I'll just dump it. Scott,
good to see you again, Stanley.
Likewise.
Are you around for a while?
No, I'm leaving on Sunday. I use a VPN. I've been using the Dreambox,
mm-hmm.
and IPTV in the States.
Okay.
Do I have to worry about it?
So far, there's nothing that's happened recently. Like, there was stuff that happened 10 years ago
right.
that would make you nervous.
But not anymore.
But there are no cases out there right now.
Thing. You told me this. I don't know if it's accurate because I'm not differentiating between virus and hacking. He was a hacker. I mean, he sold bootleg TV service for many years. And he used to be very, very computer literate. And yet he says he's never had a virus program. Am I right? I never had a problem.
I don't use virus programs.
Yeah.
You've never had a problem, right?
Well,
I don't say never, but nothing that I couldn't,
couldn't deal with.
Right.
Yeah, and I know a lot of professionals that don't deal with antivirus at all because they know how to stay out of trouble. They're doing good practices all the time.
I use WiseCare 365. WiseCare.
Well, that's only to officiate. I use them too, but that's only to
clean
get rid of.
We've had a few instances, especially more so before Windows 10, where the operating system was open.
What are we missing?
Compromised.
It was just compromised. They discovered that Microsoft had done something wrong, and it was just open on the internet, and antivirus wouldn't have plugged that hole.
Right.
But if something went in through that hole, it was ready to find it.
I had a very serious hack recently. Somebody sent my email recipients a letter that I just invested, and I have a reputation to be good in that. I just invested in a terrific item, and that they should do that. It's going to do very well. And a cousin of mine from Florida, based on that, you had to send $500 to a thing. And she was about to send it, and at the last minute, she figured to call me just to make sure, and I knew nothing about it.
I think the best lesson that we can all take from all this is we cannot be reactionary people when we get these messages. We need to recognize the chance of it being a scam is much higher than it being true.
Right. Yeah.
And sit calmly and think about what's going on before doing anything about it, maybe asking for help. I put out a blog post last year saying, these are the scams. This is what it looks like. Call me if you feel uncomfortable and read it to me, and I'll tell you whether I think it's a scam or not.
Especially PayPal. Oh, my God.
I've had probably thousands of people through the years have me look over their shoulder and look at an email, and thousands of times I've told them that's a scam.
Do you use TeamViewer?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do remote support for customers too. Yeah.
And how do you charge for that generally?
Generally, it's frustrating because it typically takes twice as long and I get paid half as much. but I'll charge an hourly rate as well. It's typically half my on-site hourly rate.
Okay, which is?
I do $50 an hour on-site, $25 an hour if it's remote.
Okay, if I ever needed you in the States, you can do a TeamViewer and go over.
I can, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, great, I like that.
And I do payments through PayPal work it out, however.
By the way, I have a Zoom Text program. You know what Zoom Text is?
Absolutely.
I'm on a trial basis, and it's going to be over in about 15 days. Is there a way of going into the registry and resetting that?
I'm not aware of one.
Okay.
I mean, there may be, but I would recommend if you need Zoom Text, just buy it.
Oh, you rip for $1,000?
God, do you qualify for any kind of disability?
Well, I have one free copy, but I want to use this on my laptop. So what I could do is very simple. Just forget about what I got and just reinstall Windows 7 and just start over again. I could do that too.
Yeah, because I know Zoom Text, and it's worth the money, but they take advantage.
I know.
And so it's good to have like insurance cover that, or the VA or somebody will cover it.
But what I could do, really, I think I made myself a program without it installed. Now I can go back and just install the door, and then reinstall it like from scratch.
Yeah, that would probably work. Yeah. All right. Good to see you, Stanley.
Do you have a card? You can give me a
phone. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Give me a card.
And while I'm doing that, I'm digging out this card. I'm just going to close up this session of the San Carlos Computer Club by saying thanks for joining us. Please join us next week. We will be here Tuesday, 9:15 to 10:15-ish. Obviously, it's an ish because we're still here now. It's very ish-ish. If you are anywhere on the internet looking for computer help, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me. You can find me at internationalcs.net. You can contact me directly, scott@internationalcs.net. If you're interested in the San Carlos Computer Club, we make recordings on YouTube, we stream live, and we make podcasts available. Just search for the San Carlos Computer Club in any of those places that you would find things like that. Or look for our website, our blog at sccclub.org. If you're in San Carlos, we do this from Tequila. So come to Tequila's. They got good food. They got great table service. They allow us to use their Wi-Fi. They got amazing Wi-Fi, fiber optic Wi-Fi. I guess that's it. So until next week, tech on. Shut this down. Stop.